Today, I want to speak about salvation celebration. Doesn't that sound nice? Salvation celebration. There is going to be a celebration in heaven that all of us are invited to. All of us. And we have a choice whether we will attend or not. But it's going to be amazing. I think they have celebrations in any way in heaven every day. That's what I hear. They celebrate. I once heard my wife say, she listened to a lady that says, every time somebody passes away and they go to heaven, everybody in heaven stops and they celebrate that. Isn't that amazing? Everybody celebrates. We sit here on earth and we have a funeral. But the moment they get there, they celebrate. I'm not saying our funerals are wrong, but maybe we... I said to my family once, if on my funeral, no black sheep. You come with colorful things and you're going to sing praises. And I will watch you. But there's going to be a celebration. And we have an opportunity to take part in that celebration, first of all. The second part is we have the opportunity that we can help other people to get to that celebration. Now, I don't want to be the one that one day stand in heaven, stand at the celebration, and then there's people not in heaven and they are in hell, and they say, but I was supposed to be there, and you were supposed to be the one that told me about this celebration. I don't want to be guilty of that. I want to say I want to get the opportunity to share to everybody. At least I have the opportunity today to share to all of you, isn't it? So you are all invited to the celebration that Jesus is going to have. But before we get to that, I have a few scriptures that I want to read. Jesus and God the Father were sitting in heaven. That one song that we sang now said, Jesus or God the Father sent heaven down. And that is Jesus that came to live on earth for us and to bring heaven to us. And God the Father sat, and Jesus and the Holy Spirit, and they created the earth and they created mankind, and they gave them opportunity to live. But they had to give mankind the opportunity to choose for themselves. And we know the story of Adam and Eve. They were in the garden. They had the choice between all the trees, but the one tree they were not supposed to eat. And what did they go and do? Eat from that one tree. That's humankind, isn't it? That is what we do. And because they did that and exercised their free will, they sinned and sin came into their lives. And God said, let us give mankind an opportunity. And then if you listen to all the stories of the Old Testament, let's go up to Noah, there came a time when people just became wild. I hear people say in our lives today, in the world that we live in, it's crazy. And it is crazy if you listen to the things people are doing. But there's a scripture just before God decided to bring the flood where he said, and God looked at man and he says, every inclination of his heart was only evil all the time. That's a sad scripture, isn't it? God created human beings, put them on the earth, and they lived, and they did all the things they did, and he came to a place where he said, he looked at their hearts, and he says, every inclination of their hearts are only evil all the time. That's a bad thing to say about people, isn't it? And then, right after that, he says, and God's heart was grieved that he created people. Sure. That's not the God that I know, isn't it? Because I am just, God is good and God loves us and everything is wonderful and all these things. And he said he was grieved because he created people. That was the reality. That's how bad it was going at that stage on earth. And then he decided, well, the only way, let's start over again. Let's wipe out all these people, and that's why the flood came. And he wiped out everybody. And the Bible says he found a righteous man who was not Moses. Thank you. See, even my daughter is helping me. Found a righteous man, Noah. And God, we know the story, took Noah and he took his family. And it was not long after the flood was gone, Noah decided he's going to drink a bit too much wine, and the whole process just started over. And then we have so many examples of the Old Testament where God was trying to save the Israelites, trying to help the people, trying to do all these things, and at the end of the day, things just didn't work out. And God the Father was sitting and said, I have a plan to save these people. And my plan is, I will have to send my only son to go to earth and to become one of them and to set the example and to teach them what the right thing to do is. That's a big step. And Jesus decided that he is willing to do that. And if we read scriptures like in Philippians 2 where it says he is the King of Kings, but he decided to become a servant, even a servant unto death. And that's what he did. Here, Jesus is sitting in heaven, ruling over so many things, but he sees what is happening on earth, and he says, I am willing to go and become a slave to those people so that I can bring salvation. Because we've tried for how many years through the Old Testament and it just did not work. And again, we know the story. Jesus came. Jesus identified with people and he came and he died on the cross for us. And that's not something that we can take up lightly. Jesus as God becoming a human being and dying on the cross for each one of us. And we know he came and he took our sins away so that we will be set free. And Jesus was busy with his disciples. Jesus lived it in the towns around him. And then came a time when Jesus, after he died on the cross, that he said, now I am going to leave you again. And then he came and he gave a few commands. And he gave a few things. And we will read the scripture now. In Matthew, where he started off by saying a few things. So, first of all, God the Father said to Jesus, I am sending you to earth so that you can go and save the people. And then, I'm going to read some scriptures. Let's see what Jesus said. Jesus came to do this. We start in Matthew. Matthew 28, verse 16. It starts off there. And you'll see there on top, the heading is the Great Commission. In Afrikaans, ons die groot opdrag. The Great Commission Jesus gave. He says, meanwhile, the 11 disciples heard, this is now, remember, after Jesus died on the cross and the 40 days that he roamed on earth, helping and teaching the people again. And it says, meanwhile, the 11 disciples heard the wonderful news from the women and left for Galilee to the mountain where Jesus had arranged to meet them. So that's the first thing. Jesus said to them, go to a specific mountain, I will meet you there. There is a specific place that Jesus told them to go. The moment they saw him, they worshipped him, but some still had lingering doubts. Then Jesus came close to them and said, all the authority of the universe has been given to me. All authority in the universe has been given to me. Now go in my authority and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teach them to faithfully follow all that I have commanded you, and never forget that I am with you every day, even to the completion of this age." So Jesus came and he gave his disciples, and it was not just the 11, there were many others with him as well. He gave the command and he said, "Go into all the nations and tell this story to people." And he says, "But take heart, I will not leave you alone. I am with you. I am with you." Alright. The next scripture, Mark. Mark 16 verse 14. It starts again the heading, Great Commission. "Then Jesus appeared before the 11 apostles as they were eating a meal. He corrected them from having such hard and unbelieving hearts because they did not believe those who saw him after his resurrection. And he said to them, 'As you go into the world, preach openly the wonderful news of the gospel to the entire human race.'" Okay, look at that. The gospel to the entire human race. Matthew was talking about all the nations. Here he says the entire human race. "Whoever believes the good news and is baptized will be saved. And whoever does not believe the good news will be condemned. And these miracle signs will accompany those who believe. They will drive out demons in the power of my name. They will speak in tongues. They will be supernaturally protected from snakes and from drinking anything poisonous. And they will lay hands on the sick and heal them." After saying these things, Jesus was lifted up into heaven and sat down at the place of honor at the right hand of God. So he was restored again as the king. And the apostles went out announcing the good news everywhere as the Lord himself consistently worked with them. You see that thing? We don't do it alone. Jesus is with us and is working with us. "As the Lord himself consistently worked with them, validating the message they preached with miraculous signs that accompanied them." Same story, different words. Then we go on to Luke, book of Luke. I love this first verse. It says, "He supernaturally unlocked their understanding to receive the revelation of the scriptures." Isn't that beautiful? But I've got a whole sermon about that, but I'll not do it today. Next one, "And then he said to them, 'Everything that has happened fulfills what was prophesied of me. Christ the Messiah was destined to suffer and rise from the dead on the third day. Now you must go into all the nations and preach repentance and forgiveness of sins so that they will turn to me. Start right here in Jerusalem, for you are my witnesses and have seen for yourselves all that has transpired. And I will send the faithful of the fulfillment of the Father's promise to you. So stay here in the city until the mighty power of heaven falls upon you and wraps around you." That's obviously the Holy Spirit that he's talking about. Isn't that beautiful? Many times we read about the Holy Spirit that is in us, but he says, "I will send him and he will wrap himself around you." Alright. Last scripture there, Acts 1 verse 8, Handelinge. "But I promise you this, the Holy Spirit will come upon you and you will be filled with power and you will be my messengers to Jerusalem, throughout Judea, the distant provinces, even to the remotest places on earth." Right after he spoke those words, the disciples saw Jesus lifted into the sky and disappear into a cloud. As they stared into the sky, watching Jesus ascend, two men in white robes suddenly appeared beside them. They told the startled disciples, "Galileans, Why are you staring up into the sky? Jesus has been taken from you into heaven, but you will come back the same way that you saw him ascend. Okay? Thank you, Franz. Four scriptures saying the same thing. In each book, four different books of the Bible. Okay, I didn't even put in John. John is also there. And John says, as the Father sent me, so I send you. It's a command that he gave. Now this is something important that we need to remember. Jesus didn't ask the disciples, didn't ask people, please go and do this. He gave a command. Go and make disciples. Go and spread the word. Go and share it with other people. It's a command that he gave us. And obviously it was directed to his disciples right at that stage. But that goes through all the way to us today. And the fact that each one of us can know about Jesus and know about the gospel is because somewhere, somebody in our families or in the country or wherever took this gospel from Jesus and from the disciples and brought it to us today. And that's why we know. And maybe we are just so used to it because we grew up with it and it's just a natural thing. But to think that there are people in this world today, somewhere there is a lady that is 92 years old in a different country and she has never heard of Jesus Christ or the story of Jesus and dying on the cross. I mean, I cannot imagine that 100% because it's just like always been part of my life. But that is a reality. That is a reality today. And it's not just one person, many people in countries. I mean, there's countries in this world where they block your internet usage that you cannot type in Bible or you cannot type in scripture or Jesus or anything like that. The country controls it because they don't want them to know about that. And again, it sounds like, no, it's not possible. If we don't want to know something, let's just Google it. I'll tell you later what Google said to my wife. But that's the reality. And still today, there is a number of languages in this world that do not have a single word written of the Bible in those languages. Can you imagine that? With all the technology we have, messages we can send to the other side of the world in seconds, and all these kind of things, and there's still languages in this world that do not have any word of the Bible written in that language. It's like mind-boggling to us. No, it cannot be true. But it's real. It is very, very real. Here we sit, and I guess if I come into your house, how many Bibles is in your house? 2, 3, 4, a number of them. Okay, don't feel bad because you have so many Bibles. As long as you read all of them, then it's okay. Or we can take our phones and just read it. So easy today. And I'm sure you've heard about the stories in China where they only have one Bible and they tear out the pages. And the different pages is going to different cell groups and different people, and they will take that page for a week and they read it and they memorize it and they go, and I don't know, at some stage they say, okay, let's change, and then whoop whoop, they give the next page to the next group and the next thing. Again, it sounds silly to us, isn't it? But there is the truth, and those things really happen. I mean, again, I cannot imagine just having one page. What if you get numbers 3? With all those names. This one is the father of this one, and this one is the father, and there were so many in the camp. But they value it because it's God's word. So the question comes to us, what are we going to do about this word? Because God gave this command to us. And then he says, you start in Jerusalem. At that stage, they were in Jerusalem. So he says, you start where you are and you share the word of God. You share this word of God. Today I want to encourage you. Maybe it's the dry bones in our lives that we need to stand up and say, I am going to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that means, yes, some people have to pack up their things and they have to go to countries and other places like this outreach group. They have to physically drive there to go into the villages and the places and share the gospel of Jesus Christ. We have to do that. I remember our first outreach, my wife and I, we were not married yet, we were just friends, in 1992 went to Mozambique. And we couldn't speak a word of Portuguese. I could say muito obrigado, and that's about it. But they gave us little tape recorders. You guys will not know what these tape recorders say. So it's MP3 players, but very old ones. Worked without batteries. Alright, and it had a little slinger. What is a slinger? A little thingy on the side that you turn to create some power that the tape recorder can turn. And then they gave us, and the nice thing about that little tape recorder or MP3 player, you could buy tapes in different languages with different sermons on it. And then you put it in there. So if we go to, let's say, Mozambique, I can get Portuguese ones and I can put it in and I just turn this little thing and then it plays the message. And if I go to Zambia, I can get Lamba tapes and I can put it in and it plays the... So we couldn't speak the language, but what we could do, they gave us those things, and then we had to walk into a village, greet the people in a way, and call them, and then we will just play this little tape recorder, and it will give a sermon that somebody preached in that language, and that's how we share the gospel. And the amazing thing is, imagine this picture, because it happened, you were sitting there, and you turn now, if you have a long preacher like some people, you have to do that for an hour long. Left hand, other one. I think we somehow got some of the children to do it and whatever. But the message was spread. That was still the easy part. We had little plata, what is that? Records that you get. That had this, a similar kind of thing, but they made a simple one, and it really works. This is for the science guys. A card box that they fold like this, and then up, and then like a triangle, and then they put a kind of a nail at the bottom. And if you put that nail on the record, and you turn it, there was a hole in the record where you take a pencil and you put it in and you turn it, and then it starts playing. You hear it. It's amazing. But there you had to have skill. Because if you drive too fast, then you go talk too fast, or if you go too slow. Okay, so we like these ones because the preacher preached normal. Alright. But those are things we did to share the gospel. The other things we did, we showed the Jesus form. Now, I don't know how many of you know the Jesus form, but we had this old 16mm and projectors, those ones, and it had four reels. And they took the book of Luke and they made a movie of the book of Luke, word for word, that starts since Jesus' birth all the way right through until Jesus died on the cross and he went up. Word for word. You could sit with the Bible like that, and we'll go out and we'll get onto soccer fields or open fields and things, and then we had a big screen and we would show it. We once did it in Malawi. We counted 3,000 people sitting there. Now, this was before cell phones and projectors and all these fancy kind of stuff to get the word out there. This is what this group is going to do. They're going to drive all the way to Zambia because God called them there. And they're going to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ to those people. Because it's an outreach that they are going to. Maybe God is not calling you to go to far places, and maybe you cannot travel so far and have all the things. So what can you do about it? You are in the artillery. You can sit at home and pray and throw the bombs all the way over to those countries and those places and say, God, I cannot physically go, but I go in the spirit. I know of this outreach group. I know about missionaries that are going to countries. I pray that you will open the way for them. Open people's hearts and their minds so that they can see the gospel, see and hear about you. I'm praying for that lady that is 92, almost on her deathbed. And if she never hears about Jesus, she will go to hell. I pray that you will send somebody, something, somehow, to get the message through to them. So we can be involved in so many ways. We can physically go. We can support people to go. Or we can pray. Or so many ways that there we have opportunities. Why do we want to do this? I want to read the last scripture. Because there is a salvation celebration that is coming. Revelation 7. Revelation 7 from verse 9. So our scripture coming, France. Revelation 7 verse 9. It says, I'll start reading, you can catch up. After this, I looked and behold, right in front of me, I saw a vast multitude of people, an enormous multitude, so huge that no one could count, made up of various ones from every nation, tribe, people group, and language. They were all in glistening white robes, standing before the throne and before the Lamb with palm branches in their hands. And they shouted with a passionate voice, "Salvation belongs to our God, seated on the throne and to the Lamb." All the angels were standing in a circle around the throne with the elders and the four living creatures, and they all fell on their faces before the throne and worshipped God, singing, "Amen, praise and glory, wisdom and thanksgiving, honor and power and might belong to our God forever and ever. Amen." Look at verse 10. Isn't it amazing? All tribes and nations, people represented from all tribes and nations, and people are standing there. And what do they shout? "Salvation belongs to our God." Isn't that beautiful? What is the one thing they shout in heaven? Salvation. Salvation. Accepting Jesus as Lord and Savior. Salvation. Every tribe and nation, it says, every tribe and nation standing there. The difficult part is today, there's tribes and nations that have never heard of Jesus Christ. Again, it sounds like just, it's not true. How is that possible? But it is real. It is real. I watched a video the other day of some tribe on an island close to, I saw an aeroplane that went close to there, and it was full of arrows. Full of arrows. They shot the aeroplane. And those people are so wild. They just kill people. They've never heard of Jesus. Today, in this world, a small island. Cannot imagine that, but that is real. That is real. So what will we do? We just do whatever God tells you to do. That's all that you do. As long as we get our heart today and say, God, I want to be part of that salvation celebration one day in heaven. And I want to make sure if I have to be a channel somewhere through a prayer, through sending people, through going, whatever, I want to be obedient and faithful to that so that that message can get to every tribe and every nation and people group, that it can go out. So that's why we have this group today, and we want to pray for them. I'm just going to pray, and then we'll call them forth. Let us just pray. Lord Jesus, thank you for this opportunity that we have today, that we can look at your word and see how you said, we have to go. You are sending us to go and share your gospel wherever you want us to go. Some will be right here, some will be praying, some will be physically going, some will send others to go and help others to go, Father. Whatever the responsibility is, I pray that we will be faithful in that and that we will be obedient to what you tell us to do. Father, we're excited that there will be a salvation celebration in the heaven one day. And Father, I want to be there. And I want to make sure as many people as possible will be there. As long as all of us are doing what we are responsible for. Will you help us? Will you encourage us? And will you provide for us? Thank you, Father. Thank you that we can pray this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen.